Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. Buckle up, because we've got a wild ride this week as we cover everything from mindfulness with a motorcycle to the J. Cole and Kendrick beef, with a detour into Creedence's artistic comeback. Plus, we touch on Queen Crybaby LeBron and a reminder to have patience. And stick around for the draft where we draft the best people ever named John. Please enjoy Season 2, Episode 6 of the Rude Dude Recovery Pod.
That should just be our fucking intro.
Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that takes some weight off your plate, puts some pep in your step, and reminds you that you are loved. And haters gonna hate. I am your favorite drunk turned alright dude, Henny Lokes the Lobster, with my heterosexual life partner in crime, Cam Ran, la 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 la, Shrimp Man the Cree Davies. What's going on, my boy?
Hey, dude. That's awesome, man. I don't know if I ever told that fucking story when the media people, you know, when we had they do the school announcements on the TV.
I got time.
I won a gold medal in subsections because I was hella good at fucking wrestling. And they're like, all the gold medal winners. And they're like, Cameron Davis. And like Miss Biddle literally looked at me and she's like, how do you mess up the last name Davis? And like sat there and like laughed at me. I was like, dude, Cameron Davis. I was like, dude, what the fuck is that, dude?
Shout out Miss Biddle. She was dope.
Dude, Miss Biddle was the best. When that shooter came to the school, I was in her class. It was dope. We were watching skate videos and shit. It was the shit in Miss Biddle's class. I hit the lottery on that.
Wait, when did a shooter come?
8th grade, bro.
Oh, you're talking about Barrett? I thought Barrett. You were talking... Wait, Miss Biddle was at Barrett?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking of, who was the teacher where we spilled our chew spitter in her class in high school?
Dude, I don't remember her name. That was like, what, freshman biology?
Dude, she never said anything about us chewing in class. We pretended we were drinking, but we were spitting.
I totally forgot.
She never said anything, and we spilled our chew spitter all on our papers. We walked up to go turn in our papers, and she goes, I don't want that.
Dude, I totally forgot about that. And Kyle was like, oh, man, that's super gross. Oh, dude, I remember that.
Yeah, everybody, oh, disgusting. We're like, it's not disgusting because it's water.
Yeah, dude, it's okay. Don't send me to Kleiss's office. Oh, that's awesome, bro. But yeah, man, I'm doing good, man. Getting over a cold. If you could probably hear it in my voice, I'm a little congested. Over here, but I'm doing good, man. How are you?
My guy's double pink eye, sick as a dog,
dude. You're
down bad, my guy.
I'll tell you what, bro. Since we're already just jumping into it, I had double pink eye, bro. And for our listeners, I kind of alluded to it on the Paul episode that I might have had it in one eye. Well, dude, I had it in the one eye, and then all of a sudden, like 2 days later, it blasted me in the other eye, dude. I was walking around looking like high school Cameron, bro. I was like ashamed to walk into like stores, dude. It looked like I was chiefing blunts and hitting bong rips all day.
Ripped out of your gourd?
Yeah, dude. My eyes were as red as the devil's ass, bro. It was a nightmare, dude. It was a nightmare. And then that went away, and all of a sudden, I got hit with this massive chest cold that has been kicking my fucking ass. So we are on the back end, though. We are on the back end. I got some sleep last night without having any coughing fits. So that was a win.
Lyndon is super sick right now. She has been home 2 days this week and been at school 2 days this week. And the 2 days she was at school, she slept in the classroom until like lunchtime or until we went and picked her up. Yeah, something serious. Stuff in the air. Well, my friend, I'm doing well. Working from home today, working remotely, which I can kind of get used to. Your boy made himself a delicious breakfast burrito this morning. I even took a break and did a little bit of suntanning for my little work break. and worked on some pod stuff, which I'm super hyped about. It's funny, we have these moments of enthusiasm that we have to grasp, or for me anyway, I have to grasp, because I'll be super hyped on doing pod stuff and, you know, putting our name out there and grinding different social medias to network and all that kind of stuff. And I hit it hard for like a week and a half, and then I'm just over it and I don't want to touch it for a week or two. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but if that's you, you're not the only one, because I'm super hyped on it and I'm crushing, I'm doing everything. And then I'm like, I can't bring myself to open the Rude Dude Instagram. I don't even want to look at it or touch it. It comes in waves for sure.
Shit, dude, that kind of falls back on like the Paul episode last week, right? Like you get like burnt out. I'm kind of the same way though, bro, where all of a sudden I'll get this boost of energy, whether it's pod related shit or it's kind of anything really, whatever I can kind of hyper fixate on, all of a sudden I am fucking amped on it. And yeah, dude, I'm getting after it. But then, dude, it does what you just described. It just fizzles out. And then I gotta rediscover it and bring it back. But yeah, the waves is a great analogy of it, man.
You mentioned the Paul thing, and that's on my list, so let's get into it.
Okay.
I have to say, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be vulnerable with the people, because that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. It took some quieting of my ego to leave the last part of that episode in, because we went over an hour. So, and we're trying to keep them to an hour. So part of it was legitimately there was call for potentially cutting some. And obviously my ego was like, well, let's cut the part where the fucking guy was admonishing you and telling you that you just didn't do it because you don't give a fuck. And if you gave a fuck, you'd do it and all this. And live in the moment, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. But I listened back, as we do, you know, editing. And I thought about it. And there is some interesting and some good stuff in there. One of the things he said is there's no grade. So there is no should or shouldn't. There is no one's going to come and say, yeah, you got a C minus in productivity. You either do or you don't. And if you don't, then I guess the pain of not doing it is not great enough. And this is something we come across in recovery, of course, where they say, when the pain gets great enough, you'll be back or whatever. You know, you go out there and you think you can use again and it's fine and it sucks. And then when it sucks bad enough, you'll try to get clean again. And that's, you know, I am happy to report I fixed my fucking truck lock.
Dude.
How about that? And it was something in what he said where I was like, I can just either do it or like not do it. And I was like, well, I guess I could just do it. I don't know why, but.
Dude, I actually think that at the end of the episode, I actually scared you into thinking that somebody was going to finally come and steal your fucking tools.
You invited everyone in West Virginia to enjoy my Milwaukee tools.
But hey, dude, look at the power of our boy Paul, right? Like, hey, he sat there, he said that. That was kind of harsh, but dude, I mean, it's the reality of the situation. We either do it or we don't. And I love how you brought recovery into that, because I try to tell people who talk to me about recovery. I had one of my cousins talk to me about another family member, and I was like, dude, this is a do it or don't deal. There's no gray area in this field, right? If you're an alcoholic or an addict, there's no, hey, I stopped for 3 months and then I get to go back out and try it again. It just doesn't work that way. And it's the same way in life when it comes to tackling obstacles that we're putting off. Like, you know, I say it all the time. I put off getting sober for fucking years, bro. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And then eventually took the steps to do it. And there's a lot at what Paul said that was really kind of important, right? And it was a great question that you asked. It was the intrinsic desire. Do you have it inside, right? And something inside you flipped, because you obviously had the intrinsic desire to go, hey, you know what? I'm going to fix that fucking lock. So I'm proud of you, dude. Now I'm the only limp dick around here with a task that still isn't finished. And we've been talking about it for over a fucking year. So way to go.
Oh, buddy. No, I mean, you know, first time registering a vehicle in 7 years. So don't, I'm not some changed man all of a sudden. You know, the other thing is I thought about the barrier for me is like when I'm not sure or I don't know, because with that, there in my head, I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not going to pay for $1,200 to fix it. And then from there on, I don't know. And like, really, it was as simple as watching a YouTube video, which they told me to check the fuses. It wasn't the fuses, but I used the second step. And let me remind you guys how I used the second step. I asked a power greater than myself. What was a power greater than myself? A Marlboro Puffin 65-year-old man that worked at AutoZone, okay? And that motherfucker was like, hey, he walked outside with me. He was like, cut that sleeve back. Look inside that sleeve there. And guess what? We opened up the sleeve and a wire was completely broken. So we put a connector on it, hooked it up, bam, locks work again. But it's just taking that initial step, man. But you gotta dive in.
Yeah, dude. And it's because like we can sit there and focus in on the negatives, right? Like, oh, this is going to be, or maybe this is a Cameron-centric deal. This is going to be a very inconvenient pain in my fucking ass. If I look at that task as being one of those things or it falls into that category, dude, it is the last fucking thing that I'm ever going to want to do. You know what I mean? Like, I can tolerate it. And I brought it up last episode. You know, I can willfully tolerate it. Hey, that fence is still back there. Well, you know what? I'm okay with it. It's all right. But I'm glad that it was super easy, dude. And shout out to the fucking dart smoking guy at AutoZone, bro. Just came in and saved the day.
Dude, I love guys like that. Invaluable wisdom.
Oh, yeah, bro.
You know, we touched on it last time, and I just kind of wanted, I wrote it down again, and I just kind of wanted to reiterate, man, go outside, get some sunlight, take care of your body. Summer is upon us, and I don't think we can understate the value of getting some sunlight, being outside, feeling the breeze, seeing the nature. And I just want to, you know, if you guys have been bumming, if you've been a little depressed, eat a nice meal and go for a fucking walk. It'll make you feel better.
Well, dude, in the famous words of famous West Virginian dude, the infamous John Denver, ready? I was thinking this when I was outside today with the sun. He sings it in this fashion. Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. And dude, it's literally that, dude. I can go out there and just throw the ball or watch Graham crawl around outside, right? And the, like, a cloud goes past the sun, and then the sun comes and caresses my fucking face, and I can just like
sun smoothies.
Oh, dude, and you just close your eyes, and it's not super ass hot like it is out here yet, and it's just like 70 degrees, and it's just like, oh, bro, like, I close my eyes, and it's like little God moments, bro. Like, so yeah, dude, I reiterate that 110%. If you're feeling down or sad, go out there and get some natural vitamin D. I also want to circle back to the absolute best part of working from home, dude. I love a work break or a lunch break. Go sit out in the sun and tan your thighs while listening to some ambient music shit. Dude, I do that all the time, bro. I will put my shirt over my eyeballs and lay there with my shirt off. I got my pants jacked up to my nutsack, and I got the sun blast in my thighs, dude.
Yeah, buddy. That's how you got those delicious pictures of young memers today. We were on a sun break.
Dude, she looked fucking fantastic, dude. By the way, I didn't even know she was that jacked, dude. She's got some nice tries on her, dude.
Well, she got a bath yesterday. She was looking pretty fresh.
She's looking good, dude. I got to get out there so I can meet her one of these days.
You must meet Mia. All right, man. What is your take on the J. Cole and Kendrick beef? Do you have one?
I got to be completely honest with you. I have no idea about it.
What?
Yeah, dude, I'm not a big fucking...
Some guy who lives under a rock?
Dude, I don't pay attention to fucking pop culture and shit, really.
Well, let me fill you in. And in case any of our listeners aren't privy, this will be good for them. But there's an important message of healing and recovery in here, and that's why I bring it up.
Word.
So Drake and J. Cole made a song called First Person Shooter, and I guess it take shots at Kendrick Lamar. And I didn't really know that, but then all of a sudden Kendrick comes out with a Naughty Boy going real hard on mostly Drake, but also J. Cole catches strays as well.
Okay.
And went hard as fuck. And then J. Cole comes back and makes a response song to Kendrick.
And he dropped an album with the diss track, and the album was called Might Delete Later. And then Drake made another track, but we're not going to talk about him because I don't think he's on J. Cole and Kendrick's level. That's a hot take. He's not as good of a lyricist. He's more popular, but that doesn't make him better. So just because he sells more, just because he's part of the machine that has all the money in the world for marketing, doesn't make him better. So if you don't believe that, eat my ass. Anyhow, J. Cole put his song on his diss track on Might Delete Later. And then he had his Dreamville Festival, which is the very same festival Chris and I were at last year. We did not go this year.
Yeah.
And on stage, he said, on stage, he made a long, basically, apology. Mm. And what he said was, this doesn't fit my character. I did this. I felt a lot of pressure. He said, when Kendrick made the song, I had people blowing up my fucking phone. I had 1,000 missed calls and 1,000 text messages. What were we going to do? What were we going to do? You want the drama to pop off? Blah, 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 blah. And he said, I let all this peer pressure get to me. And he said, ever since, and you should look this up. It's a really good speech. But he said, and ever since I dropped that shit, I just didn't feel right with it. It just didn't sit right with my character. And it's not who I want to be. And it's not what I want to do. And he deleted it and he took it off streaming platforms completely.
Hell yeah.
Now, the rap world, of course, is, oh, he's fucking, oh, what a pussy, da 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 da. Oh, you don't say, you don't apologize for this track. That's weak as fuck. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And I get that that's their take. But as a healed person in recovery,
yes,
I've never related with something so much. Because it reminds me, I used to argue with people on Facebook and like about politics in particular.
Yep.
And when I was in the midst of an argument, no matter what I was doing, I was at work or whatever, whatever, I was waiting for the motherfuckers to respond so I could tell them how fucking stupid they are. And oh, what are they going to say next? And I'm opening Facebook and I'm refreshing and I'm refreshing and I'm, it's consuming my mind. I can't work. I can't do whatever I'm doing. I'm just waiting for these people to do whatever they're going to do so I can tell them how fucking stupid they are. So what J. Cole did to me is brilliant. It's beautiful. Yeah. He did it because he felt pressured to do it. It was actually really fucking good. He may have even won the battle. But he said, this isn't me, and I don't like the way it makes me feel, so I'm taking this shit down. And I actually think that's dope as fuck, and especially in the arena that he's in, to do that, it's incredibly brave, and people are going to hate him, but I think it's dope as fuck.
You know what, dude? There's a lot to digest in that, but dude, I always think that's the greatest part of like rap culture is when you get these diss tracks. I used to salivate when you get like people coming for Eminem and shit. And then you just be like, oh, dude, he's going to get his anus reamed, bro. And you just wait and wait and wait and wait. And then it comes back and lo and behold, it was a reaming. It's super cool that he did do that, though, dude. And there's a lot to that, man. And it, first and foremost, I want to highlight that it comes with self-awareness, right? Like, who do you want to be inside? And when your conscience is telling you something like that, only the elite healed people, like Henry was alluding to, feel that tug, right? You feel that fucking pull. Like, hey, dude, this feels gross, bro. Like, this feels fucking nasty. Like, when I catch myself doing that, like trying to spit like some hate or some vitriol towards something or like a situation, like I can get really fucking, this is just me being transparent, I can get really fucking pissed off about the fucking homeless situation out here. I can get really fucking mad because, dude, I love this state and we're not getting these people fucking help. And everywhere I look is a fucking homeless tent with people fucking doing drugs on the side of the street. And I'm driving around with my kids and shit like that. Like, I'm fucking upset about it. I'm pissed. And I'm paying all these taxes to live in this shithole state. And it can consume me.
They fixed San Francisco real fast when they had visitors coming home.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely, dude. Fucking Newsom can eat it, dude, from the back. But It really comes down to this, though, dude, because then I have to have exactly kind of what I like to imagine J. Cole had, was I have to have these moments of clarity, like, hey, bro, if you did not have your motherfucking family to fucking put you under their roof when you were at rock bottom, you would be one of these motherfucking people bro.
Tell them about it.
And dude,
tell them about
it. I like to sit and think that I was immune to that, right? Like I'm somehow holier than thou because I got sober, right? Well,
you
dude,
are not fucking lying, I
got fucking sober by the grace of fucking God. But if it wasn't for the fucking last little lifeline that I had, I would have been no different than these fucking people living out here on the fucking street with tarp.
Amen.
Fucking begging for fucking money to stay fucking loaded. So,
amen.
It's that's that pull on your conscience, right? That's that inner tug, like, hey, dude, this is nasty. This is not who the fuck I am. And if it is who I am, I really need to do some soul searching to figure out how I can not be this person anymore. And I think it's a great point, dude. So I don't even care who won the fucking battle. I stand with J. Cole for that, because that's called making fucking amends, bro. And that's how you clear your soul. You know what I mean? Regardless, bro. So yeah, hats off to him, dude, because that takes a lot of fucking courage and that takes a lot of fucking self-awareness.
Dude, I think it's great. And like I said, in rap culture, he knows he's taking an L. He's not stupid. Like, it's not an L in our mind, but in the masses of people who listen to that kind of music, even though I'm one of them, generally it's like, oh, you took an L, you're scared, whatever, you backed out. But to clear his conscience, you know, like Randall says, I don't do stuff I have to lie about, because then you're carrying this lie and then you got to feel a type of way about it. And this reminds me of another thing. When someone goes, oh, well, you used to do this or you used to do that. And like, yeah, I used to. And then guess what? I realized I was fucking wrong. And I realized, like J. Cole, oh, this doesn't feel good. I don't want to feel like this. So I'm going to remove this. I'm going to cancel this. I'm going to take this away. I'm going to change my position, which it's okay for some. Well, you used to say, yeah, I did used to say that. And guess what? I did some research and I read about it and I learned about it and I changed my fucking mind. So I don't want to do that anymore.
Dude,
you know?
Sorry, I got to interrupt, dude. Yeah, dude. I think that's a great fucking point, bro, because people can kind of say that, like, hey, dude, you used to do this. Well, dude, that doesn't mean that I planted an internal fucking flag or an internal stance that this is how I have to be the rest of my life because I acted a certain way in the past. You know what I mean? Like, I learned. I grew.
I was naive. I was immature.
Yeah,
I was,
dude, I was sick. Hurt. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I was facing a fifth of vodka by lunch
in 30 minutes and not drunk, dude. I mean, dude, there's wild shit going on. But yeah, dude, sorry. I had to interrupt with that.
No, you're good. So that's all I really have on that. And I, you know, I don't really care who won the battle or not, because I love J. Cole and Kendrick and I don't even want them to be fighting. But I just thought that was a really cool thing for him to do, and very kind of uncharacteristic of what people expect from rap and rappers, which is why I think it's so cool.
Dude, I think it's hats off, dude, and very relatable. And like I said, J. Cole won in my eyes, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because J. Cole gets to lay his head down at night and say, I'm not in that fucking beef no more. And I feel good about that. They can fight amongst themselves. I'm chilling.
Yep. Exactly, dude. Washed my fucking hands of it. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. So I love it, dude. I love it. What else should we... Bro.
Well, we're deep in the throat of NBA playoffs. Deep in the throat. LeBron's a crybaby back bitch. He, as per usual, he's blaming the loss of a 20-point lead on one bad foul call, which is just abhorrent. It's absolutely disgusting. And if I have to see that reel or whatever on social media one more time, I'm going to poke my eyes out. And let me tell you why I'm so fucking mad about it. You want to know what grinds my gears?
Let's get after it.
People look up to this man. People call this man his goat, their goat, right?
Yep.
Do you think that Kobe or Michael Jordan would have coughed up, first of all, would have even coughed up a 20-point lead in the playoffs? But second of all, would have then made an excuse about one fucking bad call in a game and made that the focus of your post-game interview? These children, LeBron, they look up to you.
Dude, and the thing is ready? He's feeding into the fucking, the problem that is in our society, right? Like, hey, this didn't go my way. I'm going to fucking bitch and whine about it. I mean, he do
give me my participation trophy.
Yeah, dude. Here's me. I feel super aggrieved by what's happened to me. I can't believe that this happened. And bringing in Mike and Kobe into that conversation is the perfect segue.
Kobe Bryant. Yeah. No. You know, they called a foul on me, so that was the problem.
Never, dude. He would highlight.
I didn't work hard enough.
Yep.
I'll be in the gym at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning.
He would have said, well, yeah, that call was probably bad. He would have acknowledged the call, but you know what else he would have done? He would have said, here's what happened for us to lose to fucking give up that 20 point fucking lead that shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Not the one fucking call, dude. And mm-hmm. and yeah, LeBron's a fucking joke, dude. I mean, he was great when he was young. He really was. I got to give it to him. Like when he was with the Cavs and with the Heat, he was elite with the Heat.
He's a great player. I just, his attitude and all that shit and the crying about the refs and the crying to the refs during the game, mm-hmm. it tarnishes his legacy for me. And I didn't even put this on here to argue about him, but or get upset about him, but it fires me up because, like I said, man, you know how many kids idolize this man? Do yeah. better.
Yeah, dude, he's this generation's Michael Jordan, bro. And so what are you doing, man? So now all these kids growing up who want to be basketball players, what are they going to do when they don't get a fucking call? They're going to throw their head back in throws and be like, oh, trying to sell fouls, and then they're going to whine about it. And so that's what you're doing. I don't know if he claims to be, you know, intelligent enough in this super, you know, mindful person.
Why are you always on page one of every book, dog?
Yeah, dude, he ain't read a book in his fucking life, dude. That's a joke.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention whose cock is currently in my throat. He goes by the name of Wardell Stephen Curry. And the reason I love him is because he would never either. You'd never see that man. You don't see him standing there arguing with refs while his teammates are playing 5-on-4 on the other side. And you don't see him after a game go, one bad call. And let's not even forget to mention who in the last 2 years is number one by almost double what number two is in free throw attempts.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Correct. So you're going to sit here and fucking argue with people about a call when you're 150 attempts ahead of second place from the free throw line. Get the absolute fuck out of here, bro.
Dude, they live at the line. I'm surprised fucking LeBron hasn't built a fucking mansion at the line, dude. It's a great point about Curry, right? Like, he'll get a bad call and he just kind of like,
he gives a sour face like, what? And then he gets back on defense.
Yeah, and then he goes back and it is what it is, which is what you're supposed to do. He's got that golfer mentality, right? Like, after that shot, we move on to the next one, dude. It is what it is. It's done.
What a prick, too, to be so good at basketball and he's so fucking good at golf.
Yeah, dude, what a dickhead, dude. I hate those fucking asshole type of people, dude. Those fucking people, man, that sit there and just, like, are elite at everything. Like, be like, oh, yeah. Hey, I can do this. Like, oh, dude, oh, here, I wrote this master symposium on the piano today. Be like, dude, what else can you not do? Like, dude, whip your dick out. How big is this thing, dude? I gotta see. And it's, like, 12 inches and shit. Like, it's just a nightmare, bro.
Let me see it.
There's another thing I wanted to talk about, dude. Do you want to know something that's been happening with me lately?
I do, Cameron.
I've been just diving into, I've mentioned my paint by numbers shit and all that. Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. It's been arts and crafts Cree over here, dude. I've been making rosaries. I sent you a picture of that, right?
So, dude, I love that.
Dude, it's been hella dope, dude. I just like buy these beads and I listen to music and I just learned how to tie these barrel knots. And I've been making these fucking rosaries and I'm just handing them out to like family members and shit. Like, people can do whatever the hell they want with them. But like, dude, it's just fun as fuck. And it's just hella zen. And I remembered a part of me that used to love doing artwork and shit like that, dude. And I just wanted to kind of bring up, like, if you have a small passion like that and like something's tugging at you, like, hey, I should paint, or hey, I should get back to drawing, or hey, I should write my poetry, or whatever the hell it is. Do that shit, man. Do it. Because, mm-hmm. dude, like, it's
create.
Yeah, go create, man. Like, it doesn't matter if some of the knots on the rosary are a little off or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, go and do something. Crochet or some shit, dude. Like, be yourself, dude. And I just kind of wanted to bring that up because it's bringing me a lot of joy.
I love that, man. And we talked about me with the guitar, which I still haven't picked back up, but I've been yearning for it.
Yep,
so but just fiddling around on the guitar, man, and creating, like, I can create music with my fingers and it's so cool. But anything, you know, Kristen likes to bake, anything that get your creative juices flowing, because you're right. Like, I can picture that feeling of just like, oh, wow, I'm just pulling something out of my ass and creating something. Like, this is cool shit.
Yeah, dude, it's like, and I can sit here and I got all these different types of fucking beads and I can be like, this one is perfect for this person. So I'll go use this fucking brown, you know, the brown cording and be like, okay, this one looks fucking sick with these beads and then these ones for the center ones. And then I can make them for everybody. You know what I mean? Like by their personality. Like I gave one to Bonnie. You know what I mean? I gave one to my Aunt Anna. It was cool. And something was talking to me. I was like, this one needs pink beads, right? She comes to Graham's birthday party and she, when I go plan to give it to her, she's wearing a pink shirt that day. I was like, glory, glory be, bro. Like, here you go. It was meant to be. So fucking, yeah, dude, it's just, it's been cool. I'm going to send you one and then you can have one too, dude. Yeah. I got an idea for you.
I think the thing about it too is that it uses a different part of your brain that you're not normally using. We're in fight or flight. We're in problem solving for work. Got to figure this out. Oh, I got to make a schedule. But when you get into that artistic stuff, which is what left brain, I'm saying way more than I know, but you're using this different part of your brain that you don't get to use often. And it's fun. It's like, oh, this is low stakes. This is cool. This is interesting. This is just for funsies. And you're accessing this different part that isn't like, oh my God, how the fuck am I going to get all this stuff done and fix my truck lock and file my taxes and all that like monkey brain bullshit that we have to worry about all the time. You access this other side that's just like, oh, arts and crafts. It feels like I'm at kindergarten and I get to take a nap in a minute. This is delicious.
Dude, that literally is it, dude. Like just sitting there and like zoning out.
I have no bills.
yeah, literally be like, oh, dude, nothing is wrong in the world or in my life at this exact moment. And that's the peak, dude, because I'm not scrolling on social media. I'm not doing anything, dude. I'm just locked in. I'm stringing fucking beads. I'm stringing beads and I'm tying knots. And it's like a meditation, man. It's fan fucking tastic.
I've got to say the 12-year-old inside me is just going anal beads, anal beads, anal beads. Make a joke about anal beads, which I'm not going to do. I just want you to know. I'm clearly not going to do that.
But, I know you wanted to. If you would have heard our fucking takes from our promo yesterday, I know you wanted to hit anal beads.
All right, so you may have seen this little note about the Raptor lock in there.
I did.
And there's just this fun little delicious little tiny reminder that I get from my truck that I thought it was worth mentioning. So it's got the little thing. It's the keyless entry. And when you put your hand up to the door, there's like a little sensor on it. And you pause for a second and the door unlocks and then you pull it. Now, if you reach straight up and rip the door handle, it doesn't unlock, and then it doesn't want to unlock, and then you tick, and it doesn't fucking unlock, and then I get all fucking pissed off. And the lesson here is literally, I have to wait before I pull the lock. I have to wait about 0.75 of a second, and life is okay. If I reach up there and yoink it immediately, it doesn't want to open, and I just keep going, and it doesn't, and it won't fuck, and I get fucking pissed off. But if I just wait. If I just wait 0.75 seconds for it to unlock, then it works fine. And it's a perfect analogy for me, Mr. ADHD, Mr. Always in a Hurry, Mr. Always Late, Mr. Gotta Have It Now, Gotta Go Now, Gotta Do It Now, blah, 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 blah. If you just can just wait that 1 second, just take one fucking moment and just chill the fuck out, then everything is much easier.
Okay. You know, that wouldn't be ideal if like fucking zombos were coming to fucking eat your ass or something, dude. Like that 0.75 seconds, dude, fucking put you down, dude. You know what I mean? Or you got a fucking West Virginia bear or something coming for you or some shit.
If zombos are going to eat my ass. I might let them, pal. Who is Zombo and where's the syrup?
Dude, I just got this vision of a Zombo coming straight for your juicy ass, dude. That's
I've
awesome.
Never heard Zombo, and it's fantastic.
I'm mentally challenged, dude.
Let's just make a slang word that doesn't make it any shorter. Let's make an abbreviation that's the same length.
Dude, I've been calling them Zombos for years.
That's fantastic.
You can keep that one, everybody. All I listen.
The Zombos are coming. The what? fucking Zombos, bro. We gotta go.
Dude, that's a... when you say it like that, dude, it sounds so California. Oh, fuck, dude. It's the Zombos.
Oh, dude. Fucking Zombos, brother. Dude, grab the skateboard and the cron, bro. Don't leave my surfboard. I need my drug rug. Fucking Zombos are coming, bro.
This is a gnarly wave of Zombos, dude.
Grab my slightly stupid vinyl and we gotta go, brother.
Zombos are in route. Oh, fuck.
We got you. Zombos on deck, brother. Fucking zombs on the horizon.
Oh.
But it's kind of like you like to say, pause when agitated. Take a fucking second. Yeah. Just take 1 second. Just chill out for 1 second.
It's true.
Think about it, and it'll be fine.
You know what? That's a skill that has saved my ass in many of heated moments, dude. When you know when you feel your blood pressure kind of rising, and you want to say some shit, and all of a sudden, dude, I can see my sponsor's face. We pause when agitated, Cameron, and I literally have to do that so many times. It saved me so many times from saying something that I don't need to be saying at all.
Absolutely.
I'm dying about the Zombos. That was a good laugh. That's fucking funny.
Let's see. So I mentioned that I took a little sun break today.
Yeah.
And I tried to do a little, excuse me, let's talk positively about ourselves, Henry. I did a little meditation.
We love that.
And I remember when I was in Elevate, the rehab I went to around age 28, spent age 28 birthday in there. They did a lot of mindfulness and meditation. And I remember there was this very specific moment. I was up in the detox cabin, so it was early in my trip there. We were doing eyes open meditation, and we were hanging out, and someone was like running a chainsaw or something down the hill, down a ways, and I could hear it, and I remember saying something to the tech that was working. I was like, how the fuck are we supposed to meditate? There's a fucking chainsaw. It's awful, dude. Like, what do you mean? And he said, he was like, the chainsaw is neither bad nor good. It just is. And the same thing happened. I was laying there on a blanket trying to catch a little rays, stay away from Zombos, and meditate. And a fucking dude next door starts up his little motorcycle, dude, a little two-stroke, like, dirt bike. And I was like, it's neither bad nor good. It just is. So keys to meditation, something that really helped me if you struggle with meditation, is don't be like, oh, my God, this noise. Oh, my God, that's happening. Oh, my God, why is that? It's just you're being mindful. You're being present. You're noticing that noise. It is neither a bad or a good noise. It's just a noise because something's happening. And you can notice it and say, oh, that's cool. There's a motorcycle next door. What else is there? Oh, there's wind. Oh, there's the sound of a dog barking. Oh, fine. We hear them, we notice them, and we let them go because we're meditating and we're relaxing the brain. It is neither bad nor good. It just is something that I'm perceiving in this present moment.
Yeah, dude, that's the key, bro. That's the key. There was on the Insight Timer app, I use that from time to time. There's this great old Australian lady, and she always talks about that, about being aware of those sounds, almost even focusing in on them. What can you hear? You know what I mean? Do you hear cars rustling? Do you hear kids running around playing? Do you hear leaves brushing, like you said? And then she comes back to say exactly what you said. Allow them to be there and then recenter yourself. And so, like, you're just allowing that perceived distraction to be in your experience, your meditation experience. And it's a skill, dude. That takes some time to fucking hone, because like you said, like a chainsaw during a meditation session sounds terrible, right? I'm trying to fucking relax my mind and I got a guy over there chopping oaks down. And then the guy with the motorcycle would have sent me, though. I'd have been like, bro, do you see what the fuck I'm doing over here? Like I'm over here trying to have a moment.
He's not that close to me. He wouldn't have seen me.
Oh, okay.
But on the other side of it, if you think about it, perceiving that there is a motorcycle nearby in the present moment is better than going, oh my God, I haven't paid this bill and I need to do my taxes and I owe the rat race that you're trying to get away from in your head. It's better to be present and be perceiving those things than it is to be inside the head worrying about the shit we normally worry about, because that's the goal of meditation, is to get away from that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Hey, hats off to you, bro. I'm proud of you for doing that, because I know that's something that you said you struggle with. Keep practicing at it, man, especially doing that in the sun. That's a great place to fucking do it, dude. Listen to those little birds chirping and shit and just fucking zone out and be with yourself. Way to do some self-care today, dude. Hats off to you, bro. Watering plants, got your shirt off, fucking safe from Zombo. Tits out in the sun, dude. I mean, California, living out there in West Virginia, you love to see it, dude.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, brother, we get into this John draft?
I say we get into the John draft, dude.
All right. So we're going to do a little draft of Rooski, and we're going to draft our favorite people named John.
I'm one of them. Dude, so who wants to go first here, though, dude?
Well,
I think it's your turn.
It technically is my turn.
All right.
This is tough. The first overall pick.
First overall pick for the most famous person named John.
Not most famous. No. My favorite.
Your favorite.
I think I know where you're going to go. I'm going to go with John Madden.
Mm.
I'm going to go with John Madden. I know he was on your list.
You fucking cocksucker, dude.
I mean, it's just a really great classic voice, and the thing is, when you hit a guy hard, he's gonna feel it.
Going with the fucking Raider legend, John Madden. Hey, you know what, dude?
We got the draft tonight. We had to do it.
Hey,
we had to
do it. He was there, dude. He was there, but I appreciate you paying homage to the legend that is John Madden. That's a good
take. Was he your number one?
He was not, but he was my number two. I'm going to go with a more hippy-dippy type of number one here. I'm going to go with John Lennon. Yep.
Nice.
John Lennon. John Lennon. Okay, imagine. One of my favorite songs in his solo stuff is Watching the Wheels Go Round and Round. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. It's a good song. It's about him stepping away from the spotlight with the Beatles and just living his life with his kid and Yoko. And then, you know, as that story went, it's real sad.
Is Imagine John Lennon?
Yep, that's John Lennon.
That is an absolute heater.
Yeah, John Lennon, a huge staple. So, yeah, I'm going to go with John Lennon as my number one overall pick.
Dude, that's who it was between. That's who it was between for me.
It's tough.
I think next I'm going to pay tribute to another legend. I'm going to go with John Candy.
Ooh, you fucking cocksucker, dude.
Dude,
I hope this is
the first one we really had some overlap on.
Dude, I hope the Zombos come and actually fucking eat your ass to death, dude. You fucking dickhead. Oh, my God, dude. All right. Okay. All right. You motherfuckers. All right, dude.
You motherfuckers, you.
I'm going to go with number two. I'm going to go with another musician. I'm going to go with Johnny Cash.
Oh. That's a great one.
Yep. I'm a big Johnny Cash fan.
He was on my list.
I'm a big John Cash fan, dude. I love me some old country. He's a staple. That voice is still unrivaled.
Okay. Man, there's a lot of good Johns, brother. There's a lot of good Johns. All right. Round three, pick three.
Correct.
I don't know. Yeah, I am fully losing my mind. I'm going to go Johnny Depp.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one, dude. I like that. I'm going to go with, this is pretty blasphemous coming from you from where you are. I'm going to go with John Denver as number three.
Fucking asshole.
Yep,
I thought I could get him at five, but I had a sneaking suspicion.
John Denver. I got three musicians on the top.
I stole one from you. You stole one from me.
Pisses me off, you fucking dickhead.
Yeah. This one's out the cuts a little. We're going to go with another actor. I'm going to go John Malkovich.
John Malkovich is a good one, dude. That's a good one.
Whenever he's like a little treat, he's like the little treat you sneak. Whenever John Malkovich pops up in a movie, it's just delightful. And there was Being John Malkovich, which was an interesting, like, breaking the third wall, you know, where they are him and he's actually John Malkovich. I don't know. It's a great movie. It's a very thought provoking. And John Malkovich is just a hell of an actor.
He really is, dude. And I like his voice. I like his delivery on shit.
Yeah.
Like just the way he delivers things, dude. Him and Gary Sinise.
Paid that man his money.
Him and Gary Sinise, like, came up doing, like, Broadway together. Like, they opened, like, a theater and shit. Oh. Yeah, him and Malkovich. Okay, so now we want to do actors. You fucked me with John Candy, you dickhead. I'm going to go with John C. Reilly.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm going to go with John C. Reilly, dude.
Son of a bitch. Dewey, I got him on my list, too.
Dewey Cox himself, dude. Yep. So I'm going to go with John C. Reilly.
That's a good one.
He's a good actor, dude. And actually, you know, I like seeing him in the other movies that he's been in. Like, you don't think about him in like Gangs of New York. He was a cop and shit. Like,
Right.
So he's been around a while, actually.
Last one, man, I got a bunch of actors on here. I got to throw it back for my boy, John Travolta.
Ooh.
Mr. Grease Lightning himself. Face Off, one of my all-time favorite movies when I was like a young lad just coming into a teenage. That fucking movie, man. Dude. What a masterpiece. Dancing his way into our hearts in Quentin Tarantino. Wait,
Pulp Fiction. Is he in that? Yeah.
Okay. I fucking had a brain fart. I'm like, he is. Wait, no, he isn't. Yeah, of course he is.
Him and Sam.
Dancing with Uma Thurman and shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Travolta.
Okay. Bang. All right. And yeah, my mom always like slyly hints at how she wants to suck John Travolta's cock.
Oh, he's going down.
Dude, the Travolta
your
fucking
mom just broke my chair.
Dude, the Mimi fucking Travolta deep throat broke the chair, dude.
Oh, took it back to another dimension I didn't know I had in this bitch.
Oh, dude, Zombos. Ooh. Am I talking about my mom sucking dicks, dude? This is a fucking episode for the ages.
All right, dude, who's your number five, brother?
Number five, I'm fucking really struggling with this one, but I'm actually going to throw back to another musician that this is way off the fucking cuff, but he was a fucking legend, and he actually died from alcohol poisoning. I'm going to go with John Bonham, the drummer of Led Zeppelin.
Mm, nice.
Drank a lot of Jack Daniels. Some might call him an alcoholic. Choked on his vomit in his sleep.
Bummer.
So, yeah. He was a legend, though. Great drummer, man. Made Led Zeppelin what it was, in my opinion. Along with that whole band was fucking talented. But John Bonham.
Now, honorable mentions. I had Elway on my list. I had McEnroe.
You had old horse face on there, dude?
I mean, I'm not a Broncos fan, but he's a legend.
I fucking hate John Elway, bro. Hate John Elway.
And then I would be remiss. Kristen was so hype on this, and she threw her hat in the ring, so I saved these picks for her. She had Elton John, which I thought, I don't know, that's questionable. We're talking first name John, I don't know, but it's great, you know. He's a great John.
I fucking harumph, dude. First name John only, dude. Elton John.
Okay,
is not
Olivia Newton John. You won't like that.
Nope. Peace out,
John.
Dude.
John Smith, which is a character in fucking Pocahontas.
Dude, K.
And here's a great one though, Johnny Appleseed.
Dude,
which
I was gonna say
she dick slapped me across my face with some important Johnny Appleseed. He's an American legend. We wouldn't have apples and we wouldn't have this fucking country if we didn't have Johnny Appleseed. So
okay.
Shout out Johnny Appleseed for Kristen.
Well, here you go, Kristen. Here's some more fucking American history for you. You got John Hancock, John Quincy Adams. There's a few other ones.
John Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy and his poor scalp. There was one other one. I do want to shout out a legendary stick man with the name of John, John Mayer. That guy has crushed all the ass in the world. And he has seen all the bodies that are Wonderland. So shout out to John Mayer and his soft ass jazz love making music. That was a fun draft, actually. And you dickhead taking John Madden. I was pissed.
We'll see. That's how it should be. We should have overlapping ones because that's what makes it fun.
Yes.
Let's do this real quick. Do you ever listen to podcasts while you work out or run, if you run?
I do.
You do?
I do.
And wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have... Wouldn't it be nice if instead of just your little podcast, it was your little podcast, but with some beats in the background?
Yes and no, maybe, depending on the topic.
For the sake of this segment, and since they're a paying advertiser, wouldn't it be nice if there was like a beat in the background?
You know what, dude? I actually think it would be fantastic, man, because I mean, some of the other podcasts that I listen to have kind of like, you know, background music and stuff during segments when you're doing some storytelling. So yeah, I could see that. For sure.
So here's my thing. I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I deep throat them constantly. And sometimes I'll be deep in the throes of a very interesting show on my way to the gym, and then I'll walk into the gym and I want to still listen to it. And sometimes I do, but I'm like, first of all, I feel weird. And I'm like, you're a fucking dork. And sometimes I listen to it for a little while and then I'm like, man, this isn't getting the juices flowing. I need to, and I got to switch to music because I got to get the, yeah. But if you experience that and you like to listen to podcasts, but you would like to be hype at the gym, we have this new product, a new sponsor of ours, and the app is called Podbeats. We will link it in the description, but what they do, you can listen to any podcast you like, and you can go in their app simultaneously and select what kind of beat. Is it trance? Is it hip hop? Is it techno? Is it house? Is it whatever? And put whatever kind of beat you like behind your podcast so you can still listen to your podcast, but also work out and run with a little.
Okay. Dude,
Isn't that pretty dope?
That's a really cool idea. And there's no there's no hiccup with the overlay or anything like that, I imagine. That's awesome.
Well, I'll be honest. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
I've downloaded the app. I have not actually tried it yet, but I'm excited to try it. And I think it's a fantastic idea because if I could get some little but still listen to my music while I jack my freaking bicycles, I think that's cool as hell, dude.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I'm going to download the app, dude. I'd love to give it a try because I think, dude, you'd be able to kind of like set the tone to what you're listening to on your podcast too, right? Be like, ooh, this is kind of a racy pod, right? Like you're listening to some murder shit or something like that. We can blast some suspense or something. Yeah, that's a cool idea, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so they are a sponsor of ours. We will put the link in the description and go check them out.
Yeah, check out Podbeats.
All right, Cam, what is your song of the week?
My song of the week, dude, I don't know what it was. I was in the shower yesterday, and good old Hank Williams Jr. OD'd in Denver. Mm. where is it? But I OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember her name. Yep. Locked in my head, dude. So I'm going with OD'd in Denver. Hank Williams Jr. I'm sorry for everybody who has to listen to my insufferable froggy-ass voice. There we go.
We started to tour
out in Denver, Colorado. I made the first one, but I did not make the second show.
We're gonna get through.
I
wish we were big enough to get through. Tell him.
But OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember her name. That's a great song, dude. He's talking about OD'ing on cocaine. It's fantastic.
Can you OD on cocaine?
You can't
just get really, really high. I guess you can. I've heard on meth, you can't OD really. You just get really, really uncomfortably high, but you can't technically OD.
Your heart will feel
like beating out of your chest.
I'm pretty sure you could do too much cocaine.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it. We got to do stuff, bro. I do not feel good, brother.
Zombos are in route, bro.
Go outside and smoke a cig, brother, or 10 in a row. Woo!
Zombos are on our way, dude. Need more go-go powder.
Zombos in route. Give me 10 darts.
We might not make it through the night.
All right. So I got a little different little thing here. I couldn't think of a song that I wanted to share, but I have a podcast. So,
what the hell kind of fucking Rick shit is Rubin,
that? Rick Rubin, who made all of your favorite songs,
okay,
is, I'm convinced, the most interesting man in the world. He should be the guy on the Dos Equis commercial.
Okay.
And I've now listened to him on Armchair Expert, which is one of my favorite shows. And he was on Joe Rogan, and I was able to listen to both of the whole things and didn't get tired of either one because he is the coolest fucking guy ever. His outlook on life, his attitude, his nonchalance, his humility, there you go, is unrivaled. He's just the coolest fucking guy in the world. So if you want to listen to a really cool interview, look him up on either Armchair or Joe Rogan. Because it's the best interviews I've maybe ever heard.
Okay. I can see that from him. He's hella calm.
I was thinking about it. Like, if you've hung out with that many uber famous, uber Madonna, uber, like, rich, people, you would have to be cool as fuck, or they'd be like, get this guy out of the fucking studio. That's you
true,
know?
Dude. That's true.
And it's just a vibe, and it's funny because he can't even... He was like, when I got into it, I didn't even know what a producer was, and I can't even really still tell you what I do. Yeah. I just know what makes people work at their best and get help them get their best, and however that is. He told this story about when he helped System of a Down with Toxicity, and
that's crazy to me, bro.
Right? And the lead singer, I forget his name, was like, "Hey,
Serge,
I have nothing." Yeah, he's like, "I have nothing for this bridge," and he's like, "You have nothing at all." "Nope, I have nothing for this bridge." He said, "Walk over there to my library." They were in his library. He said, "Walk over there and grab whatever book pops out at your eyes." Okay. He grabs a book, says, "Flip it to any page and read me the first line that you see." Opens the book, and it's like somewhere between the sacred silence and sleep. Yep. Like, that is from a fucking book that they randomly pulled off the fucking shelf, dude. He had nothing to put in there. And that is what they turned to. And he's like, "Do that." And that's Rick Rubin. He's the coolest man in the world.
Dude, what a boss, bro. I'm going to have to check that out. Now you got me fucking a little intrigued. Dude,
he's so, like, you're just like, this guy's the coolest fucking guy ever. And you don't even know why. He just is.
I love how
that's my song of the week.
I love how shit is so simple like that, right? Like, you get a little sneak peek, be like, "Oh, you would think it was like some masterful songwriting, but it's literally just
right.
Hey, right, grab the book off there." That's awesome, dude.
So there's my song of the week, Toxicity. Somewhere between the sacred silence and sleep,
disorder. That's a good song, dude. That's a good song.
That's so fucking good, dude.
That's a good song. I haven't heard that song in a fucking long time, dude.
I play it all the time.
So, let's get into our Crewman's quote of the week to ease us out of here, because this has been a fun episode. We've talked about dicks and zombos and all kinds of crazy shit, dude. It's been wild.
Mom deep throating.
Yeah, my mom fucking thinking about Travolta's dong. I mean, dude, the more moves, stick around, guys. If you're new to this show, it just gets better.
In the heat of a zombo attack, she would be thinking about John Travolta's shit,
dude. from Greece, dude. I swear to God. I got a good one. Kind of relates to like boundaries and shit.
Drop it on me.
Here we go. "I'm learning to love the sound of my feet walking away from things not meant for me." By some person with the initials of A.G. That's it. I don't know who the hell A.G is. But "I'm learning to love the sound of my feet walking away from things not meant for me." And that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Because you know what I mean? Like, we can sit here and think that we're needed in all these spaces, or some certain scenario requires our attention. But if it's not serving us, we need to learn to cherish our self-awareness, like J. Cole and things like that, and walk away. So, yeah, I like that quote today.
Dude, that's so funny, because I shared this on the Rude Dude Instagram, Rude Dude Pod, at Rude Dude Pod.
Follow us.
"Forget what's gone, appreciate what still remains, look forward to what's coming next."
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's a little different. But yeah. I love the boundaries thing. I love, you know, just saying that's not for me. And I guess with why I was relating, and just like the acceptance, like,
yeah,
this isn't for me, and I'm okay, and I'll just move on and do something else.
Yeah. And then I have a bonus one, since we threw one in here, because it kind of relates to your meditation. You ready? It goes, "Peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart."
Boom, motherfucker.
That's it, dude. Let's send it. All right, man.
Even with the heat.
The heat this week. The heat.
All right, I got one for him. Follow us on Threads. If you're on Threads,
yes,
come
please.
Find us. Rude Dude Pod. We're getting pretty active on there. We're having fun meeting podcasters and people in recovery. So if you are on Threads, follow us on Threads.
If you're from Threads and you're listening to this episode, welcome and thank you for listening to the show.
Shout out. Oh, also, if you like this episode and you thought it was cool and funny and interesting, send it to your fucking friend.
Yeah. Quick hit the little share button down there at the bottom. Send it in a text message. This instant.
Stop what you're doing. Send it to a friend and go download Podbeats.
Yes, and do that as well, because
you can listen to us make you laugh in the fucking gym, so you drop a 225 pounds of steel on your chest because you're laughing so fucking hard about Zombos.
Zombos and my mom sucking a dick, dude. So yeah, that's it. And dude, think about how fucking awesome that would be with pod beats in the back to like some Benny Benassi type beats, dude. Like, that would be fantastic. So yeah, you're not going to want to miss out on that. Download pod beats. Well, all right, Hen. This was a fantastic episode. I needed this one. This was a good time, man. Some good laughs, some funny shit, dude. I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen. Great to see you today, and I love you very much.
I love you too, Cree Daddy Dick. Cree Daddy John Travolta's shaft is the ultimate. And remember, children, be yourself. And fuck what they think.
Also, watch out for those Zombos.
Later, dude. Oh, I'll check.